alleged role in the use of a chemical weapon to poison a former Russian spy. Moscow, however, has reportedly slammed the latest round of economic sanctions, calling them unacceptable, and the Russian government has reportedly denied any involvement in the poisoning. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A bit of treasure from the Titanic was sold at an auction for a pretty price. USA Radio Network's Wendy King explains.
A pocket watch that was recovered from a passenger who died when the Titanic went down was sold at auction for $57,500. Heritage Auction says the watch had been recovered from a 34-year-old passenger named Sinai Cantor. He was a Russian immigrant who managed to get his wife Miriam to a lifeboat before he died in the freezing waters after the ship hit an iceberg in the Atlantic in 1909. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
President Trump today praised Tiger Woods after the golf legend shot down questions about his relationship with the president. After Woods finished up his round of golf on Sunday, a reporter from the New York Times asked him to comment on President Trump and then comment overall on race relations in the United States.
He's the president of the United States, and you have to respect the office. And no matter who's in the office, he may like, dislike personality or the politics, but we all must respect the office.
Do you have anything more broadly to say about the state, I guess, the discourse of race relations?
No, I just finished 72 holes and really hungry.
Worth noting, Woods has played rounds of golf with President George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, former President Bill Clinton, and former President Barack Obama. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. Weather this afternoon, sunny with a high near 90, west wind around 0 miles per hour. Tonight, partly patchy fog after midnight, otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 71. Light southwest wind. Tuesday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 94. Heat index values as high as 100. Calm wind becoming west around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 72. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour becoming calm in the evening. Wednesday, sunny with another part of the heat wave, a high near 93. Calm wind becoming southwest 5 to 8 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 73.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour. Compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we are all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff, and we work out of our houses and use our own phones, etc. What we try to do is we try to help families who either have someone in their family or know someone, work with someone, or are neighbors to someone, or friends with someone who have a mental health issue. We also try to help people who have a mental health issue get the services they need. We do this in various ways. We teach what they call a family-to-family class, which happens to be going to start
22nd, I believe, of September. It'll be held in Hunterdon Medical Center, and it'll be from 9 to 11:30, and it on a Saturday, and it is totally free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to come. You do have to register. And if you want to register, you can call 908-284-0500. We have someone that doesn't man it 24/7, but they do check the phone at least twice a day, and they will recommend, you know, pass your message along to the teachers so they can register you. We also have what they call a support group for families, friends, anybody who knows someone or has someone in their family, whatever. And it's just a support group so people get some support, and others who come may have gone through the same thing before, and they can give them advice, etc. And everything is totally confidential. In the class, the family-to-family class, we go over what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances. We go over medications, side effects. What we try to do is we try to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like being the person with the illness. And like I said, you don't have to, there's no charge. All the pamphlets and everything is free. You just have to register for the class. You don't have to register for the support group. You just come. It's on the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it is from 7 to 8:30. If you have any questions, you can call 908-284-0500, and that's NAMI of Hunterdon. And this is Mental Health Matters, and this is our award-winning radio show. And I'm going to transfer it over to Tracy Ivey, and she can introduce our guest for today.
Great. Thank you, Larry Cartwright, the host. Elizabeth Irvin Ross, we're very pleased to have her today, also known as Betty Ross, is the author of several books, including Break Your Bad Habits While You Sleep, which is based on 18 years of experience as what she calls a stress therapist and self-development trainer for corporations and government. She has been interviewed on over 100 radio and television shows, and her articles or book reviews have appeared in the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Harper's Magazine, among other publications. She has taught the Break Your Bad Habits seminar for more than 12 years. Today, we're going to focus on the following bad habits: worry and stress addiction, overeating, and lack of self-confidence. Betty, hello, are you there?
Well, hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hi, coming in by phone. Just one second. Okay. Betty, you were an English major and have a master's degree in fine arts. How did you get into the field of stress reduction and self-development? You told me a great story about your dentist, I believe.
Therapist. And when I wrote my first book, I noticed that it was a book about writing.
techniques to help them in my workshop relax their minds when they were writing so they wouldn't have that writer's block. And also to deal with that whole thing of that as a learning tool, benefit from the suggestions, and then move forward. So I extended that into a more universal kind of a project, writing the second book, How to break your bad habits while you sleep. And that's getting the mind and body to work together to change a pattern of behavior, to break a bad habit and replace it with something positive. So that in a nutshell is kind of how I got involved with it and then carried that into my writing life. And also I have a seminar business where I teach stress management and I teach relaxation techniques, imagery techniques, as well as goal setting, overeating programs to help people to lose weight.
Great, thank you. So let's talk about how stress perpetuates bad habits.
Well, I think when we develop a bad habit, it's out of a particular need. And a lot of times a bad habit, not always, but quite often, if we develop an overeating habit, for example, that might come as a result of some stresses that are going on in our life, some stressors mm-hmm. that are causing us to be anxious, to have this type of anxiety. So to relieve that stress, we might eat comfort foods, or we might crave salty foods. And that's okay to have those things occasionally, but if it's an abundance of it, then our weight's affected and it affects other parts of our body. So what needs to be done is to try to identify what the stressor is in our life. And if it's a job issue, or if it's raising a family, or if it's a relative or a particular person in our life, we have to figure out how to deal with that particular stressor, and then substitute the habit of overeating with something that's more positive. And then prior to, one of the best ways to do that is prior to sleep, when we're in that relaxed state, our inner mind's very open to suggestion. And we might say, after getting relaxed, doing some deep breathing exercises as part of the RSVP method, give ourselves a suggestion that when I'm with certain coworkers, I'm going to feel relaxed and I'm not threatened by them. That kind of thing. And then see yourself, visualize yourself in that situation, interacting with that particular person or people that you might have stressed around. So that it becomes, rather than a stressful situation, it becomes a situation that you're in, that you're coping with in a relaxed way. And you're not depending upon food, the wrong kinds of food, to make you feel better in a situation like that. So that's just an example of how that works. But the mind and body working together to break a bad habit is very, very powerful. But you have to identify what the stressor is in your life that might be causing a problem for you, and how mm-hmm. you can go about doing that.
Okay, and we're going to talk in just a few minutes about your RSVP technique for reducing the stress. And first, I'd like to ask you, why is it so difficult to break bad habits?
Well, because one of the reasons why is because it becomes so much a part of our life. If a person that smokes, for example, there are so many associations built around that habit. You might smoke while you're driving to work. You might smoke after a meal. You might smoke breaks during work. And that dopamine rush that you get from that calms the nerves a little bit. So it has the payoff for you. It relaxes you temporarily. But what it's doing, obviously, in the long run, it could create major health problems for you as far as potential breathing problems, the 150 or so chemicals in the actual nicotine can eventually have a major effect on organs of the body, your respiratory system, your heart, the brain, all kinds of things. So, but it's difficult to break because of a lot of the associations we have. If we go out to for dinner or to a bar or whatever and have a few cigarettes with the drink, that kind. It's just the people that we're around, the how we attach that significance of that habit to relaxation, helping us to relax. So that if we can find a substitute for that, that would help us to feel better and give us that that endorphin rush, that chemical to make us feel better, more relaxed, it's a much more positive thing. It's better for our bodies.
Okay, thank you. We're speaking with Elizabeth Ross, and we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, welcome back to Mental Health Matters, and we're here with Elizabeth Ross, better known as Betty Ross, talking about her technique for breaking bad habits while you sleep. Are you there, Betty? Hello, Betty. Are you there? We're on a phone call. Let me just see if we can figure out what's going on. Yes. Hi, Betty. Somehow we were disconnected, but we're back again. And we wanted to talk about how you can break bad habits while you sleep. Can you tell us a little bit about your RSVP method?
Sure. The RSVP plan is to, it stands for relaxation, self-talk, visualize. And basically, it's getting, as I mentioned before, getting the mind and body to work together to break bad habits. And the first step is just done. It's done at night when before going to sleep, when the body starts to get in a relaxed state. So it helps to further the steps along successfully when you're already stretched out in bed and the lights are out. You start breathing through your nose, take the air down to the diaphragm, and say to yourself, I feel very relaxed. Say that about 3 or 4 times, and breathe, deep breathe about 3 times. And then the second step, the self-talk, is the step where you give yourself a suggestion, a statement made that you want. want to see become a reality. And in other words, at this time, when your body starts to relax, you get in that alpha state, the brainwave patterns slow down. And what happens is the inner mind will accept as fact what you tell it over a period of time. So the inner mind is accepting your suggestion, the second step of self-talk. Say, for example, you have a bad habit of being late for work, and you say to yourself, at this point, I'm always on time for work. That would be the second step to self-talk. And then the third step, you would visualize your goal as being realized, or visualize your goal as being on time for work as a reality. And you would see yourself, see a clock at 8 o'clock, you have to be there at 8 o'clock as you're walking there in the door. And then the fourth step, practice would be the final step, and you do the exercise for about a month. Be done before going to bed at night, or if you choose, during the day when you have time to just relax. And after you've repeated it several times, it takes only a few minutes to complete, so it's a short process. So it's just relax, self-talk, visualize, and practice.
Great. Let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned that the inner mind is really controlling all this to help you break bad habits. How does that work?
Well, the inner mind controls our involuntary functions, our breathing, all the functions of our digestive process, respiratory, circulation, and those kinds of things. And what happens when you're in that relaxed state, when you're in that, the body is calming down a little bit, the brain waves have slowed down, and being the wide awake state, your eyes are closed, just doing some deep breathing. At this point in time, as I mentioned, the inner mind, the subconscious mind, will accept as fact what you're telling it. Now, that happens because in that alpha state, that relaxed state, it bypasses the censoring mind, which says, using the example I gave before, oh, you're always late for work, this is crazy, you can't break this bad habit. It bypasses that censoring factor in the mind, and it starts to accept it, that, okay, you're always on time for work. I'll accept that. But that will happen with repetition and with visualizing the clock as you go in the door at 7:50 or 8 o'clock, whatever you choose to have that time doing. Be on the clock as you're going to work. And repeated. The way conditioning works for breaking a bad habit is through the image that you're picturing as fact, as reality, as your goal being achieved, and then reinforcing that goal with that statement, you know, I'm always on time for work. And doing that for about a month. Longer if you have a deep-seated habit, like the smoking is a deep-seated habit, you've had that habit for several years, or overeating or worrying or something like that, where it might take a little bit longer. But it's very effective because all advertising is based on that principle. They show you a picture, they give you a suggestion to buy the product, and they usually do it when you're kind of in a relaxed state. You're watching television, you're relaxed on the sofa or easy chair or whatever, so your mind, hearing this suggestion over and over a period of time, you think when you go to buy a product, that thought is triggered to buy that particular product that they've been advertising. Unless you have a negative, something negative comes up in your mind and says, well, I've tried that before, I don't like them. But mostly, the conditioning process is very, very effective in advertising as well as reprogramming our minds about thinking differently about our habits. So that's basically how that plan works. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Betty. This is Larry Cartwright.
Hi.
I have a question, okay, going back just a hair, mm-hmm. why it's so difficult to break bad habits. I smoked for many years, and I've quit now for 28 years, but I just, but every time, I can't tell you how many times I quit when I smoked. You know, mm-hmm. every New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day, I'd smoke again, or, you know, whatever. But I'll tell you, it's what got me was they put me on an operating table and scraped my vocal cords from polyps and told me it was the only time they could do it, and or they'd have to take them out the next time. And, you know, with my big mouth, that wasn't happening. So but I found that every time I would drive to work in the morning, I would pass this Quick Check store, and I'd be reaching in my pocket for a cigarette, and I'd already quit. I mean, I didn't have any. But it was just a habit of, you know, a certain time, a certain place, you pass a certain thing, I would reach for a cigarette after dinner, you know, things like that. Is it harder the longer you have the bad habit to break it?
Well, it does take a longer period of time because of all the associations. Like I had mentioned, with the associations, like you're saying, you pass a particular place and it reminds you of that, or after dinner, that kind of thing. So you could incorporate into your self-talk before sleep or another time that you relax during the day, if a person would be trying to break that habit. The thoughts, the associations with smoking have passed. The associations that I have with smoking cigarettes are gone, that kind of thing. And when they pop up, I think of something very positive. It could be your child. It could be a positive experience, that kind of thing. In other words, replacement is also very, very helpful in breaking a bad habit. With smoking, if it's a visual thing where the association comes to mind, when that association comes to mind, replace it with something else, a positive thought. And eventually, over time, that will help you to move away from that association with that particular habit.
You know, it's ironic because back then, 28 years ago, the nicotine patches were prescription items, and they were for 12 weeks. And I had it on for, I believe, almost 6 weeks. And I said to myself, with my addictive personality, I could get addicted to the patch. So I quit using the patch, but I never smoked again either. But, you know, it's like to break a bad habit, you have to really want to break it, I believe. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. There has to be a desire there. Absolutely, because it's so easy to be, because we've been conditioned to a particular bad habit. It's so easy when we have a stressor come up in our lives that to fall back to that habit, fall back to that. That's why the replacement is so important. And a replacement has to be something that is not punishment or something that you don't like. It has to be something that is something that you kind of look forward to.
You know,
a lot of times people are addicted to sweets, and but unhealthy. You know, too much candy, too much white flour, pastries, that kind of thing. And sometimes to switch over, where they get they have a sense of sweetness, they're satisfied with apples, or they're satisfied with peaches or pears, something that. Satisfying to them when they're eating that separately, and substitute that for something unhealthy.
Right.
That sometimes can be very helpful.
I sympathize with people trying to break habits. You know, gambling, smoking, whatever it may be. You know, having been there and done that, I can't tell you how many times I quit smoking. Prior to quitting, you know. But it would last a day or maybe two tops, and then I'd be back again, you know. But it's just, I give the people who go through this a lot of credit, because I know how hard it was for me to quit. And even to this day, if someone lights up a Marlboro near me, I have to walk away because the smell just, you know, brings back memories, you know.
And that's what habits, especially a habit that you've had for a long period of time. That's very normal that would happen.
Right.
And walking away like that is a sign that your desire to not smoke is very strong.
Right.
And it's just like a person who's addicted to, as I mentioned before, sweets. To help them along with that, you know, you don't stock your house with candy and all kinds of sweets. You try to rather replace that with healthier fare. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that it's not a temptation.
Right.
And to not put the temptation in your path.
Right.
So, until the habit is such that it becomes something, it becomes more and more distant, that it's not so alluring to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where the value of replacement habits come into play. But a lot of habits.
Bad habits.
A little tongue twister then. Because of different stressors in our life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but a lot
right.
are affected by the things that we're worrying, and we use that as a way of different things to relieve that particular stressor. And then that's where we get ourselves in trouble with habits that become a real health problem.
Right.
And by using relaxation techniques, the progressive relaxation techniques is another very helpful way to break a habit, because that reduces the stress in our bodies that might trigger the habit and allows us to calm down so that we don't overreact to a stress or a problem with a child or an abusive a situation that's not good in a marriage,
right.
or too much pressure at a job, that kind of thing. And we learn how to internally relax through meditation, through progressive relaxation, through suggestion at a time when we're amenable to that suggestion. As I said before, sleep or at other times when we need to relax.
Betty, I'm going to pick up on the progressive relaxation that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And my understanding of it may be different from what you're going to say. So if you're in the middle of whatever is a bad habit, maybe arguing with your spouse or something, how would you use progressive relaxation?
Well, you can use progressive relaxation in the middle of a situation that's very tense, very anxious for you. The first thing you could do is just do some deep breathing, and
mm-hmm.
that's inhaling through your nose,
right.
Taking the air all the way down to your diaphragm, holding
mm-hmm.
it for a count of three, and then exhaling. And you can do that three or four times. And when you're in the middle of perhaps an argument or a discussion or something that's making you very tense. Now, if you, in another situation, the progressive relaxation exercise is coupled with that deep breathing, you could start with your feet and tighten your toes and relax. Tighten your calf muscles and relax. Tighten your hips and relax. Pull in your stomach, tighten and relax. That reduces a lot of that lactic acid that builds up in the muscles. And doing that, going right up through your body, tightening your chest, making a fist and relaxing, closing your eyes and relaxing, smiling widely and relaxing, that reduces a lot of tension in the upper part of your body. Raising your shoulders and dropping them and relaxing. So that you can do that in a matter of about 2 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that will reduce that lactic acid. That will, coupled with the deep breathing, will totally relax you. And then suggesting to yourself, I'm very calm in this situation. I'm very relaxed in this situation. After practicing that a few times, that can become almost second nature if you're in a tough situation. And you can experience a sense of calm and relaxation that is very positive.
Okay, let's get back to programming your mind before you sleep to break your bad habits, and pick a specific habit. I'm thinking about maybe someone who is either addicted to worry or addicted to stress. They're just worried all the time. What would
yeah.
be a self-talk phrase they could use? And maybe we could go through the four steps with that specific problem.
Sure. Well, a person that is addicted to worrying is a worrywart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very, very common problem with that. And some of the things that are very helpful for that are, let me just get just one moment, are using, we can worry about money, we worry about our children, our grandkids, our jobs, that sort of thing. But I find that, have found with in my seminars and things, when I do the worry seminar, how to worry less and enjoy life more seminar, that once the worry is identified, the person identifies the particular thing that they're worried about or several things that they're worried about, and then they realize that worrying implies that there's no control or solution to the problem. You see only the problem. And the difference between worry and being concerned is being concerned implies that you're looking for a solution to the problem. And if we look at the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. When you accept that particular philosophy, that there's certain things that you'll never be able to change, and there's certain things that you can change if you choose to, and then knowing which you can change and what you can't change, being able to differentiate, then you can start to think about a particular affirmation or a particular suggestion that would be very helpful to you as you get your mind and body relaxed. And one suggestion that has been helpful for others and very helpful for me over the years has been getting myself and then going through the four steps as you suggested, getting relaxed before sleep, lights are out, do some deep breathing, saying to yourself as you're feeling relaxed. And then when you get in that relaxed state, going through some progressive relaxation exercises, you can do that if you choose. And then saying to yourself, I'm at peace. I change the things I can and accept the things I'm unable to change. In other words, an affirmation like that or a self-talk statement like that. Or you could say, I refuse to worry about things beyond my control. Saying one or two of those things, I'm at peace, I'm free from worry, saying that five or six times before sleep, and then visualizing yourself in the situation that you're worried about. You see yourself very calm in that particular situation, whether it's a work scene or whether it's with a child or whatever it happens to be. See yourself in a very peaceful state of mind, and your whole body language reflects that. And then after visualizing that and doing that for a period of time, if that particular problem is a major issue in your life, doing that for about a month every night, you'll begin to see a change. And what will happen is when you're in that situation that's giving you stress, giving you the anxiety, and you're worried about that, being in that situation, I'm at peace, I'm calm, I can handle this, that kind of thing. Then the worrying about that issue will stop.
Okay.
It's very effective. It's very powerful.
Right. Now, the P in the RSVP practice, does that come the next day, or is that also done before you sleep?
The practice comes the 30 days. If you're trying to break a bad habit,
that's what it means. Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do the exercise for about a month, yeah. Mm-hmm. Either before sleep or at another time during the day.
Okay. And so if people want to get some suggestions, they can read your book. How would someone get in touch with you?
The book is on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Break Your Bad Habits While You Sleep is on Amazon. And mm-hmm. they could certainly get that if they choose or get it from the library. Mm-hmm. I do not have a private practice. I'm still doing and have been doing for a number of years corporate seminars.
Okay.
And also talks in the community.
Okay.
That sort of thing, as mm-hmm. opposed to private practice. I was in private practice years ago, but I was asked to do the different training programs for the Defense Department for about 20 years and did all kinds of seminars for them, communication seminars, writing seminars, as well as stress management programs. So that's been keeping me busy.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if you had were working with individuals or not. What have you found to be, say, a common misconception that people have about bad habits?
A common misconception is that there, especially habits like worrying, habits like overeating, those kinds of problems, they don't very often see the relationship to how it's affecting their health. I'm sure you've heard of the Holmes-Rae scale, where the psychologist in 1967 developed a scale of life events, and they assigned a numerical number to the scale. And it could be some of the events were divorce, a child leaving home for college, discussion. And they worked with 5,000 patients, and they had the medical history of these patients. And what they were able to do is they asked these people that they were working with to think of the previous year and to look down over the list of the 43 life events and write down the numerical value that was given to the life event. For example, I think a divorce was 43 points. They have different values associated with them. And they were then asked to tally up the number of events that they had in their life during the course of that previous year. And they found out that that people that scored that had over 300 points, they were 80% likely to have a major health event in the next 2 years. As people that scored less than 300, from about 150 to 300, they had about a 50% chance of having a major health event, negative health event, in the next 2 years. And less than 150, the significance of a health event were very limited, were a lot less. And what this showed is how stress brought, which is often relieved by a bad habit, rather than doing something positive and constructive, can actually create more problems for yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, it triggers the health problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a very significant study that they did. And people don't. The question was, why is it difficult for people to break a bad habit? They rely on these bad habits to deal with the stressors, and the stressors are still there. Do you know what I mean? And the habit is causing more stress. So it's kind of almost a necessity to get to the point where you realize that and want to do something to remedy it. It's like talking about the smoking habit. You know, you continue that habit, and if it's just, it might be to reduce a stressor in your life, or it might be just for enjoyment, but the habit itself is creating major, major health problems over time. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's realizing that, I think, an awareness of that. Also, people that are using, like, for example, an overeating habit or that sort of thing to reduce stress. Once they realize that the effects that that's having on their cholesterol, the potential for diabetes, problems with the heart, if it gets out of hand, then they have to realize that, you know, for your health reasons and to increase your longevity, it's time to do something to relieve the stress with a positive habit as opposed to a negative habit. And so that oftentimes, and it can be a health crisis, like you were talking about with smoking, and it can sometimes be when someone, one of the people in this, one of my seminars, had an overeating problem as a result of a stressful situation with a son of hers. And she just realized that she needed to confront the situation with the child and correct the problem. And once that was done, then the overeating actually stopped. It was just a way of diverting her attention away from facing an issue that was causing a lot of stress.
Right. So we're going to have to take a quick break, and when we get back with Betty Ross, we're going to talk about some of your success stories and things that you learned with the people that you've been working with as far as the sleep program. We'll be right back. Thank you.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Health Matters. This is Mental Health Matters, and we're back with Elizabeth Ross, author of Break Your Bad Habits While You Sleep. Elizabeth, we were going to talk about some success stories, case studies that you've had. Would you like to tell us about one of them?
Sure. One of the ladies in the workshop was a caregiver, she was a part-time caregiver, but it was very stressful for her. And what she did, she did two things. She did the RCT plan. When she would get herself relaxed at night, she would give herself a suggestion that that she felt very calm, very relaxed, and peaceful, and that she was helping her aunt with her aunt to maintain a quality of life, to help her. And doing that, seeing herself with her aunt in her mind's eye in that visualization part of the RCT plan, she saw herself interacting with her aunt and not feeling so depressed, but feeling as though she were helping her improve her quality of life and being of service to her. And she would give herself a suggestion, that I have an opportunity to help Aunt Lynn with her situation. And that helped her to reduce the stress she felt with her. The other thing she did too, which was a suggestion that I've given her, is use laughter as a way to relax during the times when you're not with your aunt. And that's what she did. And she chose to watch reruns of Seinfeld. And
I do that.
I do too. And she watched reruns of Seinfeld every night, because they had their own every night a while back. And it allowed her to get a physical break from the care, because she had to do some physical things like helping her with bathing and food preparation, that sort of thing. So it's a lot of physical involvement with her aunt. So anyway, allowed her body to relax. It reduced the lactic acid in her muscles, extra oxygen to the brain, the endorphins kicked in with the laughter, and she started to feel better because she had started to develop not only a sense of stress doing this, but also headaches. And over time, over about a three-week period of time, she noticed headaches started to lessen, and after a month they were gone, and she started to feel more positive about interacting with her aunt. She didn't feel that stress. So those two things, the suggestion, the visual, and also the laughter were very helpful to her in solving that particular problem.
Now, you talked earlier about substitute habits. Would maybe laughter be a substitute habit in this case?
Laughter is a wonderful substitute. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you've read about Norman Cousins, who was the editor of the Saturday Review, years ago wrote the book Anatomy of Illness, and he had been diagnosed with a bone disease, a type of a cancer, and he was given just a few weeks to live, and when he got the diagnosis, he decided to check out of the hospital and check into a hotel. And this was in the late 60s. He had friends bring in projectors with movies of the Marx Brothers, the different comedies, different humorous movies, and they would have like a party atmosphere. They would all watch and laugh and just have a grand old time. Well, after about a month of doing that, 3 weeks of doing that, he went back to the doctors, and they were shocked that that no longer did he have the problem. They said, "We don't know what you're doing, but keep on doing it because you're healed."
Mm-hmm.
And so a death sentence turned into a very long life sentence, and he wrote the book Anatomy of an Illness, and that was a bestseller. And it just shows the power of laughter and how what it did for him and what it did for Beth was it. Or Lynn, what it did for both of them is it boosted their immune system, and it allowed them through the release of endorphins and through the raising of serotonin to build up their immune system to the point where they were able to, in the case of the caregiver, heal her anxiety about that and the headaches, and in the case of Norman Cousins, heal his illness.
Mm-hmm.
So laughter is a very dynamic way to reduce stress.
Right. Now, in terms of the planning a dream as someone is lying in bed, let's say they're an overeater, they have a problem with overeating. What kind of a dream would they plan?
Well, they would plan after getting in that relaxed state, they would see themselves as they were at a weight that they wanted to be. It could be, 10 years ago or way back, whenever, or last year, it could have. But see themselves as the weight they were at a time that was just exactly what they wanted to weigh, and see themselves in an outfit that they had worn when they weighed that, and then say to themselves before sleep, I weigh 120 pounds or 110 pounds or whatever they want to weigh. I weigh that. And the statement is always made in the positive and in the present tense. I weigh that now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have a dream where I see myself interacting at a cocktail party or going out to dinner with this particular outfit on, and I'm at that weight. And actually what that does is that implants that picture and that suggestion in the person's mind to the point where it stays, and they will eventually, if that's repeated every night and in that relaxed state with that picture, they will have a dream where they see themselves like that. And that helps to reinforce that desire to be at that particular weight and look that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's all in the way the mind works, and when we can figure out and know how to allow the mind to work with our body to have something positive happen in our lives, to have a positive habit as opposed to the negative habit, it works.
Okay, Betty, we have about 1 minute left. Is there any other message you would like to add or something we didn't cover that you'd like to get to?
Just a general message about bad habits, and that is, you know, trying to figure out if that's a habit that's been, that you have, that's trying to deal with, where you're trying to deal with particular stress in your life, and then identify the stress, and make up a suggestion that would relate to that stress. For example, if it's dealing with a particular relative, you know, make up a suggestion. For example, the comments of my sister don't bother me or won't have an effect on my behavior, that sort of thing. And see yourself interacting with that person. And before going to sleep, that you're calm and you're peaceful, and their comments or their judgments about you, they go in one ear and out the other. That has a tendency to reduce the stress, because all of a sudden you're not looking for the approval of that person, you know what I mean, or the caring about what they think. That helps, and then you're not relying on a negative habit to cheer yourself up after you're with the person. That can lead to down the road a health problem. Very important to identify the stressors in our life and then try to think of something positive, a positive way to deal with that. And meditation, yoga, progressive relaxation exercises, imagery, all of self-talk, very positive self-talk, helps us to actually eliminate those habits and replace them with something positive.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. And
well, my pleasure.
It's been great talking to you. This was with Elizabeth Ross, the author of Break Your Bad Habits While You Sleep, who also gives seminars to corporations on stress reduction. Another thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll
thank
be we won't be back next week because it's a holiday and we're off, and then we'll do rewinds. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on. We do appreciate it.
Okay.
And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Okay, thank you.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Monday at the White House, President Trump announced a trade understanding with Mexico that could lead to the overhaul of NAFTA. President also said he would get rid of the name NAFTA and that this deal would be a great one for farmers.
It's an incredible deal. It's an incredible deal for both parties. Most importantly, it's an incredible deal for the workers and for the citizens of both countries. Our farmers are going to be so happy. You know, the farmers have stuck with me. I said we were going to do this. And Mexico's promised to immediately start purchasing as much farm product as they can. They're going to work on that very hard.
More than 25,000 pounds of Cargill ground beef products are being recalled because of possible contamination with E. coli. The meat was produced on August 16th and carry a EST.86R label inside the U.S. Department of Agriculture inspection. You're listening to USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk.
there could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over